Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Oh, I'm back.
Chris McMichael.
I'm back. On the fan on this Thursday morning. I got you for 3 hours, which is our custom here in the overnights. 5 o'clock, the warm-up show will come your way. We got Fleeks on the other side taking your calls at 888-808-1019. So who are we piggybacking Peterson with? What are we doing? Who are the Yankees throwing game number three? And that's really, like, to me, last night is about what the hell is going on with the starting rotation of both these teams. Clearly, they're in different spots where the Mets are still trying to make sure that they finalize this playoff spot. And I think they will. I understand it's only two games. I understand they lost last night. I understand they've lost 8 out of 10. I understand it's been a struggle for them. I understand it's nothing but solo home runs, a disappointing loss. Peterson was bad. He's been bad. Peterson has been bad. Since the beginning of August, he has the worst ERA in Major League Baseball. He is, right now, someone you no longer consider in that playoff rotation. And I know they still have to get there, and there's 10 days. They have a two-game lead. Everyone except Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Arizona, I guess you don't have the tiebreaker. At least you wouldn't with Arizona if they get to that point. But you get my point. It's still up to 10 to play. I still feel really confident that the Mets are going to find their way. I do. It's hard. Believe it or not, even with 10 games and only a two-game lead, it's hard to blow that. It's not easy. And these teams aren't that good, and they're playing tougher schedules. I still believe in the Mets that they will find a way to get into the postseason. But once there, who do you have faith in? In this rotation, and we're going to get to the Yankees too, because I'm thinking about this as I'm watching the games last night. And I understand, Met fans, maybe you're not with me. Maybe you're still the paranoid Met fan. Maybe you're still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Maybe you're still fed up with this team, and you're not ready to say they will be in the postseason, and you've got to figure it out over the next 10 games. And I get you. And I get you. And clearly, you've got, you know, Tom going today, and couldn't get out of the first inning his last start. Young kid going up against a really good team. You know, it's not going to be easy. You still got the Cubs. You still got a tough schedule. It's not over. But I'm trying to figure out, because we're still chasing World Series, damn it. And for weeks, it's felt like, maybe weeks is a bit strong because, you know, McLean hasn't been here that long. But for a while now, it's felt like, well, okay, that wild card rotation, you've got at least McLean, who's your ace now, he's going to get game one. You've got Peterson game two, and you'll figure out game three. Like, Peterson has been in the mix to be one of the three starters in the wild card. It's been a guarantee. You've got McLean. You've probably got, you know, Manaea and Holmes now, one of those two, and now that they've been put together. And then you got Peterson. You've been relying on the idea of Peterson being someone you can bank on, someone who's going to make a postseason start, and someone where it's jarring. Now it's gotten to the point where it's almost jarring when the manager just dismisses the idea that he won't make his next start. And I understand why, because what else are they going to do? Of course he's going to make his next start. But when you're watching the postgame and the question's asked, he's laughing and you're like, it ain't funny. It's not funny because he's just awful in this game. That fifth inning, I mean, you hit the eight hitter. You walk the leadoff man. And I know he's dangerous. I know Tatis is a good hitter. You can't walk him. Luis Arraez, who again, tell me how great Luis Arraez is. I know that bunt sets up the grand slam. I get it. He's a two-time batting champion. Drive in the run. If that were my team, I'd be furious with that bunt. But it sets up the big at bat for Manny Machado. You get a full count. You got to try and throw something inside the zone. He picks a breaking ball, and that's the game with the grand slam. The offense tries to battle back. Four solo home runs. Another bomb from Alonso's hit three games in a row. Juan Soto hits the home run, damn near just misses one down the left field line, which is frustrating. And then obviously at the end of the game hits a bullet up the middle right off the pitcher in that moment where you thought maybe the Mets could finally, after they put up the graphic, 0-64 after trailing after eight innings, the only team in Major League Baseball not to have at least a one in that first column, 0-64. You get the big walk from Lindor setting up the moment. And not to get on Juan Soto because he's been great. He's having a great year. And over the last 2 months, he has been clutch in big moments. Over the last 2 months, he has had good numbers with runners in scoring position. But it just feels like, and it's part of the conundrum of this season, as he hits his 41st home run, he's having an incredible year. He's turned everything around in that department. It's not a question. It is a typical, if not one of the better Juan Soto years of his career. Great year. But time and time again, it just feels like he comes up with an opportunity to do that special moment, to have that signature impact win for this team. And whether it's his fault or not, because he hit this one on the button, it just hasn't come for him this year. It's puzzling. It's frustrating. And he'll still have another 10 games to find it, and then hopefully into the postseason. But I look at this rotation, and we'll get to the Yankees too, because as I'm watching these two games, like, same thing with the Yankees, right? We know Max Fried is going to get one start, and we'll get to whether or not, I know Evan was talking about today, the order of the three-man rotation you would have in a wild card series, and I have a strong opinion on it. But you know Max Fried's going to start, you know Carlos Rodon is going to start. Who is going to start that third game for the New York Yankees? And you know they're in. They're in. Still trying to secure that again. Still trying to secure those three games at Yankee Stadium. We'll find out if it's against the Seattle Mariners, who I believe it would be right now, or the Boston Red Sox, or the Houston Astros. It could be any one of those three. They're definitely playing a wild card series. They're going to make the postseason. You're hoping it's at Yankee Stadium. But who is that third starter? And on back-to-back nights for the New York Yankees, the two men that we suspect are battling for that third man in the rotation are given big leads against the lousy Minnesota Twins and can't get out of the fifth. Can't get out of the fifth. Whether it's the walks from Cam Schlittler in the game the other night or whether it's the nine hits given up by Luis Gil in this game. It is unacceptable. It's hard to trust. Now, they'll each have another one or two starts, maybe three, over the next 10 games. But it is, because they said that on the post game. That's why I had it in my head. Two more starts, probably, for both of them.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ottavino does a good job set over the next three starts. That's why I had it in my head. It's not. It's got to be only two at 10 games. At max. But like, it's hard to trust. It's hard to trust a starter in a wild card game when they're going out there, and whether it's Cam Schlittler at the end of a long season, minor league baseball into major league baseball, trying to figure it out, throwing harder than he's ever thrown in his life, 100 miles an hour, being wild and not being able to get out of the fifth. Again, against the Minnesota Twins team that is dead, a Minnesota Twins team that traded away everybody, a Minnesota Twins team that has absolutely nothing to play for, and a Minnesota Twins team that the Yankees have traditionally owned like nobody has owned anything ever. And they can't get out of the fifth with a 10-1 lead for Cam Schlittler and a 7-1 lead or 7-2 lead for Luis Hill. Those are unacceptable performances from those starting pitchers, and we're going to pick from the two of them on who's going to be the third starter in a postseason series. But at least that's just one choice. I don't know what the Mets are going to do because Peterson has taken himself out of the mix. Let's be fair. We could talk about he's going to make his next start. We could talk about who he's going to piggyback against. This has not been one bad start. This isn't one unfortunate inning that unraveled with a hit batsman and a walk and a bunt and a grand slam to one of the great right-handed third basemen of this generation. I get it. That's not what this has been. This has been a 7 ERA since August 5th. You've already piggybacked. You don't have enough starters to just start mixing and matching them together. I mean, this isn't the second half. This isn't the second side of Abbey Road where you're just mixing songs together. Yes, it's a Beatle reference. I had to do it. Like, who do you trust in this rotation right now? Who do you trust? Because right now, McLean obviously is, you're going to rely on a rookie to be your game one starter in a postseason series. Your game one starter. Then you're probably going to throw this Holmes-Manaea piggyback situation. That feels like the natural with how well it went the other night. How much you trust both of those guys to at least give you four innings. It feels like that's the combo for a game number two. Who's that third starter? For a long time, it's felt like, well, Peterson's there. That's no longer the case. Now you're looking at Sprout. You are looking at going into a postseason series, a wild card series on the road to possibly go take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. And game one is going to be a guy who's pitched incredibly well, but a rookie going into Dodger Stadium to take on Otani and Betts and Freeman. Game two is a combination of two pitchers you don't trust to be one, and then game three is probably another rookie who's made a handful of starts in his major league career. That's where this rotation is. And what's frustrating about last night, and again, you want to win the games, and you want to back up that two-game winning streak, and now you got to go take this series later today with a young kid who couldn't get out of the first inning on the mound, and that's a tough spot. And then hopefully you go take care of Washington. You got more games to play. I don't trust Cincinnati. I don't trust the Giants. I don't trust Arizona, who had every chance to win the game yesterday. every chance in extra innings against the Giants at home, every chance, and they blew that game. And if you've looked at it, since the moment that the Mets were on the precipice of losing and being out of the division, out of this playoff and having one of those teams overtake them, about 4 or 5 days ago, everything has pretty much broken right for them. Cincinnati can't beat the A's. The Giants lose the last couple games of that series against the Dodgers. Like, everything's broken right to the point where then the Giants beat Arizona yesterday. Like, everything is broken right for them. It's still a two-game lead. Arizona has a very difficult schedule. The Reds stink, and I don't trust the Giants. Like, I'm still confident that the Mets are going to the postseason. But once they get there, I don't know. Like, and then obviously the bullpen as well. You're trying to establish Stanek here because he's been better. He was one of your better relievers in the postseason last year. And he wasn't bad in this game. What, he give up a home run? Like, the bullpen hasn't necessarily been an issue over the last handful of games, but I don't trust him. Part of the reason that the piggybacking is so appealing is that it eliminates a bullpen game. That at the very least, you should be able to get those two pitchers to Diaz. That's half the appeal of it. So you've got a bullpen you don't trust really outside of your closer. You've got a starting rotation that's relying on what Evan Roberts is calling the future of baseball, which is laughable, with the piggyback situation, and two rookie starters to go on the road to take on the defending champs. All right. Peterson not being trustworthy is a devastating blow. It just is. It's a devastating blow. Not having confidence in him to make playoff starts is a real hit to the viability of this team having a run in the postseason like they did last year. It just is. It just is. Now, I don't know Kodai Senga, right? Kodai Senga, hopefully, I think he's going to get one more start in the minors. Maybe he comes up. Could you piggyback the two of them? You know, kind of different pitchers, righty-lefty, same thing as Holmes Mania. Like, I don't know, but I don't feel very good when Peterson's on the mound, and it's been a month. So, yeah, we're all hoping they get in, and I'm the king of it. It's going to be put on my tombstone, along with shave the neck beard. Right next to that is going to be get in, get hot. That's me. I've been saying it forever. Been saying it forever. Saying it about the Yankees, saying it about the Mets. Get in, get hot. But I got to tell you, even though I think they're going to get in, the getting hot part is taking a big hit when the lefty pitcher that I had confidence in over the last full calendar year is now at the point over the last month where he's as bad as any starter who gets the ball every fifth day that there is in baseball. That's a problem. And the idea of starting two pitchers who haven't been good enough on their own that I had to stick them together and two rookies to go take on the Dodgers is, it's not what you want, as we heard all night long from Joe Girardi on the Yankee game. It's not what you want. It's not what you want. And the same thing with the New York Yankees. Yes, you feel good about Max Fried, although he has not been a great postseason performer outside of Game 6 to finish off the World Series, which is a big game. He pitched well on that one. Outside of that, he has not been a great postseason performer. We all know the history of Carlos Rodon for the New York Yankees in big games, although I think this year he's really started to make, you know, inroads into feeling a hell of a lot better about him in big games. But you know what you've got there. You know those are the two guys. They're both pitching well. They both have had great seasons. They're both at the top of the league in wins, which I don't necessarily make as a big stat of a starting pitcher, but for a team, when they're on the mound, the Yankees win as much as when any other pitcher is on the mound for their team. But they're having tryouts right now for the third starter in a wild card series. And up against the Twins with big leads, the two main competitors for that final spot can't get out of the fifth. And look rattled and look like the moment's too big for them. Like, that's what it felt like. They can't get out of a jam in the fifth inning against the Minnesota Twins. I'm going to trust them in a big spot in the fourth and fifth inning against the Boston Red Sox or the Houston Astros or the possible MVP. There's 10 games left. Nothing's guaranteed. No one's clinched a damn thing. But I feel pretty damn confident both these teams are getting to the postseason. But right now, I don't know how these rotations look for either of them. I don't know who's the third starter for the Yankees. And the idea of what's coming for the Mets in those three games scares the absolute hell out of me. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. So a little bit of Mets and Yankees and pitching. Obviously, a tough loss for the Mets, even though those two pitchers couldn't get it done for the Yankees. They do win both those games. The offense explodes. Now, again, you were expecting that. You're expecting to beat up on the Minnesota Twins. It is nice to see Grisham kind of break out of his mini slump with three home runs in the last 2 days, including two last night. Judge has been on fire, not a ton of home runs, but hits all over the place, looking like he did at the beginning of the year. Where the home runs weren't on this crazy run, he found it for a time, and that's why he still got 48 or whatever. But when he was hitting 400, this is what Judge looked like at the start of the year. So you got Judge hot, you got Grisham hot, you got Bellinger with another home run. The offense is going to do what it does against the Minnesota Twins. It's going to do what it does in the playoffs. We'll find out. Trust the offense. These two wins were big. You feel like the postseason is pretty much locked up at this point. Just a matter of if they can hold on and figure out a way to get home field advantage. And there's a lot to talk about. Let's see how they play today, because another late-night flight into a travel day, into showing up and having to play in another city. We'll see if they actually get enough sleep to perform in the first game of this Baltimore series. But right now, to me, I am looking at these two rotations and trying to find out how the hell I'm going to build any confidence in a three-game series with the third game of the New York Yankees and the entire rotation of the New York Mets. 888-808-1019, outside of McLean, of course. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours as we take you all the way to 5 o'clock. Continue to take your calls next. A little bit of baseball. We'll get to the football as well. Officially, Justin Fields out for the Jets. Andrew Thomas practicing and taking most of the reps for the Giants. Can either of these teams somehow get a victory to save their season?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Oh, 229. Trying to figure out we can figure out a way to make the rotation not poison. As we're getting ready for both these teams. I'm still uber confident that the Mets are going to make it. I am. I've never really waned on that. Even when they were right there, practically tied with Cincinnati, I've just never imagined. And last night's a tough loss. That grand slam is a killer. They try and battle back. They do get the tying run to the plate, but They've got to come out today. And what makes it tough is because, you know, one, Peterson stunk, which is a trend that just has killed them over the last month. And now you've got Jonah Tong on the mound today to try and salvage this, try and win this series. That's a tough spot. I mean, I heard Sal on his spot on SMY tonight. By the way, sorry, Sal. One day you're going to get that Emmy, buddy. You'll get it. You just keep on fighting. You keep fighting the good fight, Sal Licata. It's going to come your way. But he's like, this is a one hell of a spot to put this young kid. It's the biggest game of the year. I know every game they play from this point on is the biggest game of the year, but like, it's one of those things. It's tough for rookies to make these starts. It's tough to be in these spots. We're seeing it now with the Yankees. Cam Schlittler has a real problem against the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, there's some speculation he was tipping his pitches. Every time, it's funny how every time a pitcher gets lit up, that conversation comes around. But whatever the case may be, it's hard to, you have nothing to lean back on. You have no history. You have nothing to dig deep with and like, oh, I've been in this spot before. You haven't. You haven't been on a major league mound getting your brains beat in the first inning, having no idea how to get out of it. That's, you just haven't. And now he's got to back that up, going to take on the San Diego Padres in the biggest game of the year, where if you lose, you're theoretically could be a game out. Or a game up, rather. Tough spot. Peterson not at least being close to what he was from all of last year through pretty much August of this year is a killer for the Mets. It's an absolute killer. The idea you can't trust Peterson, the idea the question was asked in the postgame, whether or not Peterson is going to make his next start. Just that we've gotten to that point where that question, which was laughed off by the manager, that question isn't funny. That question needed to be asked. That question is relevant. The idea that that question is relevant today with 10 games left is a killer for the Mets. It's a killer. He's been one of the three for how long now? For how long now? Well, you got Peterson, you got McLean, and you'll figure out the third. Forget that. How can you trust Peterson in a three-game series? You're going to look at two young kids and a piggyback. That's what you're heading into the postseason with. That's against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I know Fliegelman gave me a couple of, you know, he's trying to give me the counterpoint, which is there aren't a lot of teams with a good third starter. And it's fair. Right? For the Yankees, I still think Cam Schlittler and or Luis Gil, and we'll get into who I think and which way they should deploy them and all that stuff. We'll do that at 888-808-1019. I still think that those guys are talented. Cam Schlittler throws 100 miles an hour. Luis Gil just threw 5 shutout, no-hit innings against the Boston Red Sox. Like, those guys are talented. And on any given night have shut down stuff, but the last two starts really make you concerned. But you look around Major League Baseball, there's not a lot of teams that do have a good third starter. Right? You got Seattle, you've got Philadelphia, you got the Dodgers. Outside of that, you're talking about, you know, Giolito for the Red Sox. I mean, you're talking about what, you know, Casey Mize for the Detroit Tigers. If they even make it right now, as they're getting their brains beat in by the surging Cleveland Guardians. Oh, nothing would make me happier. Do you know how many people constantly hit me up or every time I talk about Boone and how I don't hate him? That's all I ever say about Aaron Boone is I don't hate him. Oh, Hinch is such a better manager. Hinch is such a better manager. Nothing would make me happier than to have the Tigers be the best team in the American League for almost the entire season. They've already lost the one seed. It's going to be the Blue Jays. If they blow this division, ooh-wee, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. And let the Cleveland Guardians in. Anytime the Cleveland Guardians are in the playoffs, I'm in. If they could figure out a way to put the Cleveland Guardians and the Minnesota Twins into the postseason every year, sign me up. Sign me up. And right now, there is in that American League wild card, there is a flux. Every night it changes. Now it's all for the loss and the Houston win. Now Seattle's back in the wild card ahead of the Boston Red Sox. They'll probably flip. Seattle come back to the division lead. Like right now, it is a flux, those bottom two. And we'll see, hopefully, who's going to come to Yankee Stadium. 888-808-1019. But they need to figure out their pitching. Bob in Bayside. What's up, Bob?
Yeah, Chris, I think you might be overlooking one thing about Schuettler's last start.
What's that?
Joe Girardi, who's become an excellent analyst, made the point that the kid, after the first inning where he gave up a run, retired 10 in a row. Mm-hmm. But here was the butt he threw in. With the Yankees scoring all those runs, he was sitting on the bench and pitchers don't like for 20, 25 minutes at a time. And that affects veteran pitchers. And he made the point that that could have affected Schuettler in the fifth inning.
Okay, could have. I don't really care. It's about results. I don't care. I don't care that they didn't get any sleep the night before the first game of that series. I don't care that Cam Schuettler had a long in-between innings. I don't care. What if there's a long in-between inning? What if the Yankees do what the Yankees do, load the bases, take a bunch of pitches, score two runs in a 25-minute inning, or score one run in a 25-minute inning, and then Cam Schlittler's got to come out of a long break? It's okay for him to be crappy because, hey, that even affects veteran pitchers?
Like,
no excuses.
Good point, Chris, but the typical good reliever is one who comes in, throws strikes, and throws 98 miles an hour.
Yeah. So you would trust him in the bullpen more?
More than Hill, yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'll get to this at some point. Or, I mean, I guess I could do it now. I don't disagree with you. I would put Luis Hill in the rotation. Luis Hill would be my third starter for two different reasons. One, he has shown a propensity to be able to get out of jams. He's been a little bit wilder, Cam Schuettler, although in these two games that I'm talking about, the struggles against the Minnesota Twins, Schuettler was actually the one who had more of a problem with the walk than Luis Hill is, or did. But typically, through this season, through the last 5-6 starts, Luis Hill's the guy who puts more free runners on base. He's a little bit wilder and has a little bit less of an idea of exactly where it's going. But he's shown a propensity to get out of jams. He just has. So he's shown a propensity to get out of jams. And then the second reason is what you're talking about. I don't want another wild pitcher coming. Like, Cam Schlittler's been better at throwing strikes. I'd rather have him in the bullpen. I think Cam Schuettler kind of profiles better in the bullpen than Luis Hill does. So for those two reasons, I would probably, right now, I would be leaning towards Luis Hill. I don't care so much about the experience. I know he made a playoff start last year. That doesn't really make that much of a difference for me. It's in the conversation. It's part of the thought process. I don't know how much I put on it or how much weight I put on it. I focus it mainly on if they get into a jam, which is naturally going to happen, or you would imagine is probably going to happen against these teams. Like, I just trust him to find a way out of it more than I trust Cam Schuettler. He hasn't shown the ability yet in his young career, which I have every belief that he will figure out a way to start showing that and start being able to be better at getting out of jams. Luis Hill has done a better job of, when runners are on, figuring out a way to limit the damage of an inning and get out of it. So I trust that more, and it's the last thing I want to do is have a reliever come in and throw balls. You know, you got to have a reliever come in and throw strikes. So I think for those two reasons, I'd be leaning towards Luis Hill. But I'm not sure where the Yankees are thinking. The better pitcher over the last, like Cam Schlittler's numbers outside of this start and the one in Toronto, have been pretty dynamic for the last month. He's been more consistent. He's been probably better than Luis Hill. But I just think he profiles better as a reliever, and I think Luis Hill has the ability to get out of jams, make that pitch. We saw it last night. Saw a couple double plays. We saw it in Boston. Even though he threw a no-hitter, he walked a bunch of guys and yet still found a way to get the big strikeout, get the pop-up, get the double play ground ball. Like, he's got a little bit of that in him where I don't think Cam Schlittler has found that part of his game just yet in his rookie season. Mario in Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, good. Can't complain. Yeah, I agree with you. I was just thinking, is it possible, you know, that piggyback game, maybe they piggyback those two pitches into them on a piggyback game? That's not a bit, you know, it's
to
not
piggyback,
really crazy.
To piggyback Schlittler and Luis Gil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I don't know.
That's not crazy.
Well, it's not crazy, but I don't think this piggyback thing is like the new, like, you know, greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't find it as, like, that appealing. Like, sure, if Luis Gil's in the bullpen, right, and Cam Schlittler can't get out of the third, and you want to go or is struggling and throws a ton of pitches, and, you know, you don't feel that confident. It's already the third time through the top of the order come the fourth inning, and you want to, instead of going to the middle of your relief where you haven't been that great, with, you know, Yarbrough and Leiter and whoever else you would throw in that spot, and you want to go to Luis Gil and see if he can give you 5-6 innings and just pitch the rest of the game, sure, I'm into it. But I don't love the idea of, like, that's the plan necessarily. I don't know. I'm not, and they also are similar. Like, it's not, and not that that's the biggest of deals, but, like, you look at what, you know, the Mets have done right now. With this piggyback situation, you have a right-handed sinker slider pitcher, and then you bring in Sean Manaea throwing crossfire left-handed. Like, it's a completely different look. It would set up, depending on what the team is that you're playing against and whether or not they are a little bit of a platoon team or have a significantly different lineup righty-lefty, where you could come in and make the manager have to decide whether he's going to pinch hit for guys or not. Like, that makes sense to me to have righty-lefty different styles. You're pretty much throwing two of the same pitchers, throwing similar stuff, trying to beat you with high-velocity fastballs. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make as much sense as what the Mets are doing, but, I mean, I guess I'd be open to it.
You know, another thing, we got to give Boone a little credit for getting Devin Williams.
No!
He looks like he's
left. No, I mean, don't you dare give Boone any credit. What do you think this is? What are you, nuts?
No, really, I mean,
what are you, nuts?
Did you see him?
You better keep it to Long Beach, because if you get any more specific on where you are, they will come find you. You do not say any. Funny. You do not compliment Aaron Boone.
But you know that. I mean, it's yesterday, but he looked dominant in that.
I'm with you, Mario. It's, you know, he's a conversation. Devin Williams, you can say whatever you want. And you can have it in your mind that he'll never be trustworthy. He's not good in the big moment. It did, you know, in Milwaukee, it was one thing. And then look what happened in the postseason, Pete Alonso and the Mets. He's not built for this. I would get all of it, right? All of it has a vein, certainly more than, if not, you know, a complete vein of truth to it. And I could understand why anybody would feel that way. But there is no doubt. Not only have the numbers been pretty good over his last five appearances or so, his last two, and I know it's against the Minnesota Twins, but look what they did to the Yankees starting pitching. Like, they battled back. Some of those at-bats were good. Some of those guys can hit a little bit. But it's more than just the Minnesota Twins. Just the pitch shape, the way that changeup looked, the last two appearances in the last 2 days for Devin Williams have been by far his best. Like, zero fear. Even with the base hit leading off the inning last night, he then comes out and strikes out Larnick on, like, three straight changeups. Like, devastatingly good changeups. And he's throwing his fastball 95-96, and he's locating it at the top of the strike zone. Like, if Devin Williams is going to throw 95-96, and he's going to locate that fastball where he wants, and it's enough where they have to... they can't just sit changeup. He's devastating. There's a reason why he has the career he's had. There is a reason. As much as we all hate him, and by far, I mean, I can't remember, like, I'm trying to rack my brain. I can't remember a season where one player, even last year with all the blown saves from from Clay Holmes. I could give you a million reasons where they fell down. Like, he had the game won, the final game of the first half before the All-Star break last year against Baltimore. Volpe blows, with two outs, Volpe blows an easy ground ball to end the game, and then literally Verdugo fell down on a fly ball. Like, I could point, because of his nature of ground balls and soft contact as a closer, I could tell you the Yankee defense really hurt and impacted a lot of those blown saves against Clay Holmes. I did then, and I could tell you that now. And I know he blew a lot and blew the record for most blown saves and everything. I don't know if I ever remember a season where you could put as many losses on one player. I mean, 2-run leads, 3-run leads, 4-run leads, and not just, you know, because of errors behind him. So I get anyone who has trepidation believing at all in Devin Williams. But I don't know how, like, I don't know how you don't start to, like, he's looked better than Weaver. He has. He's looked better than Weaver. Even Fernando Cruz, who's given up a couple of home runs. Like, Devin Williams looked dominant the last two games. And his body language looked completely different. Even after the base hit. Previous versions of Devin Williams gives up that single, and you could feel it on his face. He did not have that after the single last night. He just didn't. He didn't care about the runner. Like, you could tell he didn't even look at the runner at first base. Now, I'm not saying that's a good thing, because in a big game, big inning, tie game, I know they were up multiple runs, so maybe he didn't care so much about that runner. You can't just ignore the runner, but it was almost just like, screw this. I'm up by a couple runs. I'm going to get these guys out. I don't really care. Steal second, steal third. I don't give a damn. I'm striking people out. It was like a little bit like that. He's absolutely working his way back up to being right there outside of Bednar. Who else? Like, yeah, Bednar without question. And then outside of that, who else do you trust more than Devin Williams right now? That's crazy to say, but I don't know who else you would trust more than Devin Williams. Like, significantly more? Ain't nobody. Maybe you want to tell me him and Cruz are on the same level right now? Or you're going to go back to Weaver being the closer into the World Series last year and say, I'll still believe in him? Fine. But you can't say it's more than Devin Williams. And to your point, yes, Aaron Boone deserves credit. There is no doubt. All of you, all of us, myself included, on some level wanted to just never see Devin Williams again. Never see him in a big spot. Never trust him in any situation ever again. And yes, you can also put the blame on Aaron Boone for consistently going to him when he wasn't pitching well, and being part of the reason why he, you know, and to say he allowed Devin Williams to lose them the games that I was just talking about. I get that. But at the same time, it's about being right for the postseason. It's about being as good a team as you can be come the postseason. Because despite all those losses, they're going to get there. Now, they didn't win the division. They're not going to have the bye, and that's unfortunate. And it's going to hamper their ability to win the World Series. But ultimately, they are the New York Yankees. They are good enough, and they are going to the postseason. And what it's about is having the best possible team you can have, with the players playing their best and being as poised and ready to go play well in the postseason. That's what it's about. And this bullpen isn't good enough. It's never been good enough. It's never had enough arms. It's never been good enough to not continue to try to get Devin Williams back to himself. And despite it costing them losses at times, if Devin Williams is dynamite into the postseason, it's almost worth it, because you need him desperately. And all it's going to be about is whether the Yankees play well in the postseason. That's what it comes down to every stinking year. Are they going to play well enough? And this bullpen isn't good enough without him. So they had to stick with him. And again, he's got to go do it. If he blows up in the postseason, forget all this. Forget everything I just said. Forget giving Boone credit. Forget it all. It's about how he performs in the postseason. And last year, I gave him a ton of credit when no one else would, or at least no one else publicly said it. Aaron Boone did a great job with Clay Holmes last year. A great job. They took him out of the closer's role, and you could argue the same thing. They went too long with him. Didn't remove him from the closer's role early enough. Kept trying him and blowing saves. It was ridiculous. It was this, it was that. Fine. In that case, they still won the division. They still had the number one overall seed. And after taking him out of the closer's role, they continued to put him in pressure situations, worked with him, and then got an absolute stud in the postseason who didn't give up a run in the first nine innings that he pitched. And was was absolutely as important a pitcher as they had in the Cleveland and Kansas City series. If he does that again with Devin Williams, he deserves a tip of the cap. There's no doubt about it. He does. And so does Devin Williams. And the bottom line is they don't have enough guys to not have Devin Williams in there. It's just, you can't just avoid him. And with the way he's looked the last two times, I would think anyone who's been mad at Boone for continuing to go to him, you have to admit, you're wrong. You're wrong. Because they don't have another pitcher with another swing and miss kind of stuff like that. Like, you're looking for swing and miss in the postseason? You're looking for swing and miss late in games? While he doesn't have the 99-102-mile-an-hour fastballs that we saw come out of the San Diego Padres bullpen in the Met game, that changeup is swing and miss. As long as he can locate that fastball, the changeup is swing and miss. They've got, despite not having those high-leverage fastball guys, and maybe they will come postseason because they'll throw a Cam Schlittler or a Luis Gil out there, they've got two pitchers who have as too good of swing and miss pitches as there is in baseball. Fernando Cruz's split finger and Devin Williams' changeup. And whether or not the Yankees are going to win the World, you can argue very easily that whether or not the Yankees go deep into the playoffs, get back to the World Series, and win their first championship since 09, you can make a case that outside of, you know, Judge performing, the biggest reason why or the thing that has to go their way is Fernando Cruz and his split finger getting swing and miss and Devin Williams and his changeup getting swing and miss. Those two pitches may very well be, outside of Judge performing, as big a question mark, and whether if you get it, they can win. If you don't, they probably won't. Those are the two things that hang in the balance on whether or not the Yankees can get to where we want them to get or they get knocked out early. Because we've seen what Devin Williams has done when he doesn't have his fastball and changeup. And honestly, we've seen what Fernando Cruz is if he doesn't have the split finger. He comes in and doesn't have the split finger, he don't get outs. So quite literally, those two pitchers and those two pitches, and whether or not it goes in the Yankee favor or not, you could argue are the most important and difference-making situations on whether or not the Yankees are back in the World Series. Because that bullpen is without question the biggest issue they have. It's the biggest issue they have. I know it always comes down to hitting. It always comes down to scoring runs. It always comes down to striking out too much. It always comes down to Judge performing. Absolutely. I mean, going back to 2004, the Yankees lose because they don't hit. Almost exclusively in every postseason series. Going back to Joe Torre days. That will always be it. That's always been the issue. Like, but this lineup's good enough. It's just a matter if they'll hit. Like, we don't know, but it's good enough. It's deep enough. It's good enough. I like the lineup. They've got a bunch of guys really performing well. They've got the best hitter in the world. He's got to show up. They've got a postseason performer in Stanton. They've got guys who've had incredible seasons. They've had clutch performances. They've had great at-bats right now. You don't trust Bellinger in a big spot? You don't trust Grisham in a big spot? You don't trust Stanton in a big spot? Like, they have a bunch of guys that I feel really confident are going to give you a good at-bat in a big spot. It'll always come down to scoring runs, most likely, but I feel about as good about that as I can. If they don't hit, they don't hit. But I feel going into it about as good as I can about it. It's the bullpen that scares the ever-loving crap out of you. And Devin Williams right now has been as good as they have. And yes, the Yankees and Aaron Boone deserve credit for that. It's okay. You can give it to him. It's okay. It's okay. You could still think he's a terrible manager. You got to give him credit where credit is due, though. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 1 hour down. Two more to go. We'll take your baseball calls still coming up. We'll get into a little bit of the football as the Jets are down their starting quarterback. And it's funny because heading into the season or in the offseason, it felt like, oh, well, you can't bring back the former quarterback. He's always hurt. He's ready to go week three. Funny how that works. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Giants as well as they take on the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday Night Football. Can they give you anything that resembled the offensive performance they gave you against Dallas?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.